Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Anyone else feel like they're talking like this time of year and sneezing and coughing and annoying your family while you're watching TV like I'm sure I do?
Well, yeah, I know that I am because my kids tend to tell me. Luckily for those of us who live with these symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease in as little as a half an hour, by the way. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
The weather is finally getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. Washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost like the middleman that passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I am so excited. I have two gorgeous lightweight cashmere sweaters coming my way, one camel, one heather gray. I cannot wait to wear them in the warmer months when it's chilly in LA. Throwing them over my shoulders, gonna look so cute. Can't wait. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/judgingmegan for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/judgingmegan to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/judgingmegan. And now back to the podcast.
Hi, everybody. You are listening to Judging Megan with your host, Megan Judge. Before I start, I just want to say a friend, one of my very best friends from I met her when I was like 12 years old growing up in DC. She sent me this thing today, and I don't know like why she sent it to me out of the blue, but it was about things happening for a reason. And a lot of people say when things happen for a reason, people either think, oh, that's so annoying when you say everything happens for a reason. I happen to be a believer in it because I think that we're all here for a reason, and we're here for such a short period of time, even though most people live to be well into their 70s and 80s. That's short. And as I age and get older, it seems even shorter. And she sent me this thing about my queen, Oprah, that Oprah did some kind of, you know, they do those reels. And she said something along the lines of, we're all here for a short amount of time, and everything is a test, or everything is here for a reason. And if you try to like run away from the reason behind it, that's both good and bad. It's just going to make you even more crazy. And this is me rewording everything, by the way. I'm no Oprah, but I really needed to hear that today because there can be bad things going on. I'm going through a little rough patch right now. And it's just like the timing of it that was sent to me was so perfect because I really needed to hear it. So thank you, Carter, my love, my friend since I was 12. I needed to hear that today. And Oprah, you will always be my queen. I know you don't listen to my podcast, but at some point in my life, my dream is to meet you.
We've all been put here for a reason, and we all deserve acceptance.
Judging Megan with Megan Judge.
I'm a trauma survivor from a really young age, and I have been diagnosed with complex PTSD in the past few years. I've been surrounded by death and abuse much of my life. I've been dragged through the mud and have been to the point of not wanting to go on anymore. Through my interviews with other survivors, I've learned that there is a way out. From recovering to surviving and thriving, we all have the strength to come out the other side.
You are listening to Judging Megan.
I'm going to introduce my beautiful guest today, Rachel Hart. Is a mom. If you live in California, which we both do, we just were up. And again, before I go into this story and we start talking, I don't want people attacking me saying, why are you like leaning one side or the other? Like, why are you not a Democrat? Why are you not a Republican? I'm very clear on where I stand. Okay. And I try not to talk politics, but I have. As of late, because these are real issues to me as a parent, as a human being, and I believe in what's right and wrong, and I believe in justice and all the things that human beings should be doing in life, and that's taking care of each other and money not being the root of everything. So I'm just going to say that. I almost don't even want to be political anymore. I just want to start my own party. And I did have a woman come on recently that was a former state assembly member, Mary Hayashi, who I really, really enjoyed. And I said that to her in the beginning of the podcast. I was like, I just really would like to be like in a new party. I don't know what I'm going to call myself, but I think there's a lot of people out there that are just kind of sick and tired of the BS. So Let me introduce Rachel, and then I'm going to kind of go into a little bit about why she's here. Rachel, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming. So we're kind of going to just go directly into your story. Usually when I have people come on, my listeners all know that I go, so where are you from? Tell me about like your life. What was your childhood like? But I specifically brought you on today because what's so crazy about the story of meeting and talk about everything happening for a reason, right? I went to vote because I am not a fan of our current DA in Los Angeles, Gaskin. And I know that Rachel is not as well. And I think a lot of other people aren't. And that's across party lines, by the way. And so I started reading up, I don't know, like a couple months ago about John McKinney, who was one of the people that was up to become the new DA. And sadly, he lost. But I was a huge fan. I actually was supposed to have him on the podcast. So there's Rachel, like sitting outside of the voter little polling place. And she's adorable, by the way. And she's sitting there with another girl, and me being me who loves to chat, I stopped and I said, I'm so excited to go vote for him right now. And then Rachel started to say, this is my story and here's why I'm voting for him. And I said, hi, can you come on my podcast? And that is the first time I have ever met somebody out in the wild and said, can you come on my podcast? But I just had to say that that's how we met. So thank you again for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So your story was all over the news, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing it actually. So when you told me what happened, I'm going to have you start talking and kind of go into that day and share the story of what specifically happened that day. And then we're going to go from there. So why don't you start and just share what happened on this specific day?
Okay. So I was, it was August 6th, 2021. And I was just out for a morning walk. It was like 8:30 in the morning with my son, who was 8 months old at the time, in his stroller. And we were almost home, like 50 feet, maybe not even 50 feet from where we would turn off to go to our house. And as in the street I was walking on, just for some context, is a one-way street. It's near the beach. It basically runs alongside the beach. It's a street, and there's like, you know, houses that are on the beach and then the beach. So you get a lot of traffic that is not local. And so you get people that are just confused, going the wrong way. So anyway, I'm walking my kid.
Was this in like Santa Monica or was
it in Venice? It's in that Venice. Sandbar Peninsula south of the Venice Pier, you know, the alphabet streets.
Okay. I'm just saying that for my California listeners.
Yeah.
Just
so they so know, it's like, just south of the Venice Pier. It's technically Marina del Rey, but really it's Venice.
Okay.
And so anyway, we were walking like with what would be the flow of traffic, even though there was no traffic on the road, because it's really more like an alley. So we were walking almost home, and I saw a car coming way down the road the wrong direction, and just, you know, didn't think much of it because I'm sure it still is a pretty regular occurrence. And as it got closer to us, it started to accelerate, and it was already driving too fast. The speed limit's 15 miles per hour. Make a guess that they were probably going 20 when I first noticed them. And then as they got closer to us, they started to accelerate. And so I was on the right-hand side of the road, and to my immediate right was a brick wall. I had nowhere to go. And so I got as close to the wall with my body and then moved the stroller as close as I could to the wall as well. And as the car got closer, it just accelerated, and then it swerved into us and tried to hit us. So in the moment, I thought for sure we were going to die. I made eye contact with the driver, and I screamed at the top of my lungs for him to stop. And then just, I mean, it's amazing how you can have so many thoughts in such a short period of time. But my thought was, I have to throw my stroller into the air because it was going to kill my baby. I stepped in front of the car, managed to, you know, throw the stroller as high as I could into the air. Meanwhile, jumping myself. Thank God they were driving a Prius. If it was, you know, an SUV or something, we'd be dead. But I was able to jump high enough that the car hit me just below my knee. I landed on the windshield, broke the windshield with my head. And then as I was tumbling down off the car, I saw the front tire of the car, which I thought was going to run my head over. So like in that instant, I'm like, I'm dead. And so after I landed on the ground, my first thought was like, holy shit, I'm alive. And, you know, where's my child? And so I just popped up, and thankfully my kid, was okay. I mean, he was crying. He's a total, you know, total crying baby. He was 8 months old. But he was okay. I mean, we both had some scrapes and we were bleeding but other than that, we were okay. And so then the car drove off and a good Samaritan coming the right way down our street had just happened to turn a corner and see what happened to us. And so when the driver tried to flee the scene, he plowed the car into a telephone pole with the truck that he was driving. And then they tried to get out on foot and run. There was a passenger in the car as well. And there were a bunch of construction workers who, I don't think they saw what happened, but they witnessed the aftermath. And so they, you know, they ran to the scene and held these guys in their car.
Okay. I mean, I know you've told this story so many times, but like, I'm a mom. I have a 10 and a 14-year-old. I remember those days I'm like tearing up, and I'm sure every mom does when you share this story, and dad. But we're thinking about what it was like when I had babies that age and I would walk them, you know, like whether it was like nap time to try and get them to calm down, or just my time, because being a mom to a baby that age is still so hard. That was your first baby, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So you're still learning how to be a mom. Never been a mom before and raised a human. And also that time, just because my kids are older now, I think back on that time and I was like, that was such a happy time for me in so many ways, because I remember like pushing my girls, I have two girls, and just like staring at them and being like, this is mine. Like, I'm just thankfully like that. Not everybody has that experience, but I'm putting myself in your shoes and thinking what it must have been like. and how like you have these like instincts as a parent mm-hmm. and a mother specifically to do anything to save that child, right?
Yeah.
It's like our animal instinct. And so when you go through something like that, like the PTSD, number one, that you must still be carrying from that, but just like how your life can just flash in a moment and you knew automatically what to do, which was save my baby. It's pretty remarkable. I mean,
it wasn't something I had to think about. It just did it, you know?
You just do it.
Yeah.
So thank God for the truck hit a pole because the Prius ran the truck up into.
The truck plowed the Prius so that the truck went head on with the Prius.
Okay, and, good for the truck.
And because of that, the Prius swerved, ran into the pole, and then the truck plowed into. I mean, it was kind of like a simultaneous like.
So did the truck do that? Did the truck do that on purpose?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so that everything else aside, like hello, there's good Samaritans out there. Not everybody's bad. We don't all have to, we're not all villains. Like that person came into your story, like I talked about in the beginning, for a reason. What if that truck wasn't driving down at that exact time and the guy got away?
Oh, and he would have.
He would have. So there you go. That's a little sign from heaven that if I don't know if you're spiritual, but I am. So then what ended up happening? So then he ran away on foot, correct?
He did not. He tried to.
He tried to.
Construction workers in the neighborhood held him in the car. And neighbors, like, I can't tell you how many people happened to, like, just be out and about and see this whole thing or catch the aftermath of it. There were probably at least 10 people that ran to the scene immediately. And they held him in his spot until the police came. My house was on the other side of this building that I got, you know, pinned up against. So I went home and knew that we were going to go to the hospital and started to gather diapers and bottles and just everything that I knew I was going to need. And then the paramedics came and took us to the hospital. And so I wasn't, what was going on with the guy who tried to hit us, I had no visibility to that. So the police came, stayed for a while, and then ultimately released him same day to his mom with a traffic citation.
I mean, are you joking? He got a traffic citation?
Traffic citation.
I don't even know. Okay. I didn't know that part of the story. Okay. So, if you live here in LA, like it was all over the news. So for my listeners listening all over the world, this was everywhere. And it's like I remember watching this and being like stopped in my tracks because it was like post-COVID. And I just remember it perfectly. It's one of those stories you can't get out of your head. So you were obviously in shock. Was your baby okay?
So thankfully I was using a 5-point harness stroller. It was a jogging stroller. The wheel well was wider than the seat part of the stroller. Yeah. So when I lifted the stroller up into the air, the nose of the car hit one of the tires and it propelled the stroller into the air. It flipped. And on his way down, he was, you know, just hanging like a rag doll. The front tire managed to graze the back of his head. So he had a big tire mark across the back of his head and had, you know, he suffered for probably a month or two of just day terrors. He would just become inconsolable. I figured out one of the triggers was flowers. We received so many flowers from, you know, friends and family after the accident that like whenever more flowers would come, he would just become like hysterical. It took me a little while to figure that out, you know, because he's 8 months old. He can't talk or communicate really in any form other than crying. So
and babies know, like they say the first 2 years of your life, like that's like a very important staple in a human being's life. So I'm sure you know that's. You know, I experience I lost my sister at 2. She passed away and my mom found her. And so I was only 2 years old and, you know, I was probably just newly talking. And then that, I have memories of like the wallpaper in our house and all mm-hmm. kinds of things. So that's interesting. And I think that that is so awful and so horrific that your son had, I hope at some point, like you get him, this is just me being a pain in your butt. So sorry, but I'm sure as he gets older, he'll be in like therapy if you don't already have him in it.
Yeah. He has a few, like there's nothing wrong with him,
yeah.
so to say, but yeah. I'm actually going to take him to see an occupational therapist soon because I think sometimes his, like he doesn't tantrum very often, but mm-hmm. when he does, he goes hard.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's just a little bit outside the range of normal. So I don't know if, you know, it has any relation to that or not. And it's at this age still, it's too hard to get that out of him.
How old would he be now? Three?
He's like 3 1/4. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I'm not trying to be like, oh, send your kid to therapy. I'm just saying I know because it can put an imprint. And it's so unfair that that's like the beginning of his life. So yeah. let's talk about this stupid kid. Sorry, because that's what I'm going to call him throughout the rest of the podcast.
He is a stupid kid.
Yeah, stupid kid. So he did this, I'm assuming, on purpose.
Yeah. There's no way to know, but I mean, his defense was that I just popped out of nowhere. But he swore, we've got video footage from a few different camera angles mm-hmm. from, you know, just people's security cameras.
Yeah.
Who thankfully were my neighbors and I knew them. So they handed it over because the police did not want me to have access to that. And they didn't want us to mess with the investigation, which is just crap. But anyway, you can see him turn the tires towards us.
I've seen videos. You can tell. And also, if I recall correctly, he was speeding. He sped up, didn't he?
Yeah, he hit us at like probably 25 to 30 miles an hour. And if I truly showed up out of nowhere, like uh-huh. he would have hit the wall. You know, I was so up against a wall that I don't know how, I mean, it was intentional because if it was an accident, he would have hit the wall, right?
So tell me, why, I'm so confused. So how old was he?
He turned 16 the day before, had no driver's license, was driving a stolen rental car. It was not stolen. It was rented by somebody that I think he was running drugs for, but the car was rented for 24 hours. It was due back the day we were hit and it got reported missing 3 days after the accident. So this guy would not cooperate with police and they just don't pursue that type of stuff.
But why did he get immediate, because of his age of just being 16, he got immediately, because he's a juvenile, got immediately released to his mom. But
I don't know if it was because he was a juvenile. Okay. It had, I think, to do with the traffic citation. You know, they call, it's called citing him out. They just gave him a traffic citation with a date to appear for a court hearing, you know, a few months later or like 6 months later, actually.
Okay. So that makes no sense because my question is I'm just going to say, what if I drove down the street in an alley? So I live in the Manhattan Beach area, you know, because mm-hmm. that's where I met you. And there's like the Strand and then there's that alley behind, which I'm assuming is very similar to what you're talking about.
Yep. Very.
And then like, say it was me and I hit somebody, like did the same thing. Would I just get a ticket and with a court date?
I don't know. I would like to think no. I mean, it was an accident. I think that makes sense because I walked away, you know, from the accident or the attack is really what it was. You know, neither of us were dying. I think that's why they wrote it up so lightly. And when I called 911, several people called 911.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like somebody tried to kill me, you know? So I think they send the police dispatch different types of police officers dependent on the call that they receive.
Okay. But like he also attempted a hit and run without a driver's license.
Right.
So yes. That's my question too. So that makes no sense. So yeah. If it's a hit and run, they shouldn't just give somebody a citation, but I don't know I'm going down the road of like his age and being a juvenile. So, okay. So then what happened next? So then you're sitting there, you go to the hospital with your baby, you're in trying to deal with this trauma. You're married, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. Your husband was probably a complete wreck.
He was at a physical therapy appointment when this happened, and I couldn't get a hold of him. He's the type of person that, like, you know, puts his phone away and doesn't look at it until he's done doing what he's doing. And so I had one of my neighbors just calling him on repeat, you know, while we were dealing with paramedics, and I eventually got a hold of him and let him know what happened. But I said, you know, don't meet us at the hospital, but you got to go home first because you got to get the car seat. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to leave the freaking hospital. So he went home, but he actually couldn't get his car out of the garage because they were holding these kids like basically on the backside of our house or at our neighbor's house. And he couldn't go down the alley because it was a crime scene because mm-hmm. the car was where the telephone pole was on our alley. So anyway, he saw the kid, but there were two of them. So we didn't know which one it was that had hit us. And at the time, I honestly didn't think it was intentional. I thought the kid was high as a kite on drugs because when he made eye contact with me, it was just like a blank stare that, you know what I mean? Like he wasn't like surprised when he hit us. There was no look of surprise, but there was also no look of like, ooh, I'm going to get you. Like it was just a blank stare.
Which is like the scariest part of all.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, and so I told the police officer that came to the hospital to take my statement, asked, you know, a bunch of different questions. And I just said, you know, this kid must have been high as a kite because he looked right at me when he hit us. And turns out, I mean, he was stoned, but he wasn't on any other drugs. And knowing his history now, so he was actually out on probation for poisoning a girl in his high school, date rape, you know, essentially. So he was on probation when he hit us.
And let me add on to this because I don't know all the facts. I'm somebody that like didn't read up on this more because I wanted it to be, I want to be like, if I knew the whole story, by the way, I'd be like, and then this happened, Rachel, because I'm such a big mouth. So he was in a gang.
Yeah, so the detective did not think that he was in a gang. Pretty sure myself he was in a gang. Mm-hmm. We'll get to this part in a little bit, but he got in trouble a few times while he was, you know, serving his very light sentence for some gang activity.
Okay.
So, I mean, my husband and I have a couple different theories about, you know, why this guy hit us. Like my initial thought was, is it a gang initiation?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking in my head because and you hear about these stories.
Yeah. Okay. And so we brought that up to the detective and he was like, I don't think so. But I don't know what his reasoning was for that because I don't share anything with you. And then what we really ultimately landed on was that we think he was running drugs. I mean, he turned 16 the day before. And so I thought, well, maybe this guy rented a car for him, you know, for his 16th birthday, which is crazy. Like, why would you do that? We did, you know, like a paid for background search on this guy who had rented the car. And he was a drug dealer and had multiple felonies on his record.
Okay. So this, just for the listeners, so they know, And I'm assuming you're like me, like I'm an Angeleno. I have lived in Los Angeles I've lived here longer than anywhere else in my life. So even though I'm technically from DC, I grew up in Potomac, Maryland. I consider myself a California girl. I'm very proud of my state. I love Los Angeles. It is a completely different place than it was from when I moved here. I do podcasts like this with Talia Landman is another one that I think I told you about, Rachel. For my listeners, she was attacked by a homeless man who was living in her alley and continued to call the police. And he was finally had a rap sheet that was pages and pages long, got sent to jail, but got out 2 years later and nobody told her. And this is a young girl who lived by herself. She's, you know, she's in her like 20s, 30s, living alone, and nobody told her. And this happened actually in Venice too. So yeah. We have a real problem in LA and San Francisco and a lot of our cities where our crime seems to be going upwards of like petty crime. So like when I talk about petty crime, it could be anywhere from like running into a Target. So now back in the day, like 3 years ago, you would go into a Target. You're a Target mom, I can tell, just like me, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So you go into Target 3 years ago, 2 years ago, you just go down every aisle. There's no such thing as like locking cases. Guess what happens now? All the cases are locked. Not every aisle, but specific aisles, because people can just go in and steal and then walk yeah. out, and there's nothing happens to them. So I think the price, and I could be wrong, so if I'm wrong, I apologize, but it was where you could steal up to $1,000 and not get prosecuted.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
I don't know if that number has changed at all, okay. but yes, that's
okay.
correct.
Okay. So I'm saying all of this because I now have done multiple interviews with women, and I'm always going to be a girl's girl, and I'm always going to support my girls and, you know, children and all the things that we need to support. But the thing is that we are not getting the support back. So we live in a state where it's the most expensive state in the country to live. We pay the most in taxes. It's a beautiful state. I love California. We can ski. We can go to the beach. People badmouth my state. I get pissed because I still love it. I don't know how you feel, but I still love California. And part of why I wanted Rachel to come on and share this horrific story is because I know you want to see a change and I want to see a change.
Yep.
And until politics really hits home for somebody like Talia or somebody like you or other people I've interviewed, a lot of people I talk to are just like, well, whatever, like it's fine. Like we live in California. And until something hits you like directly, like or affects yeah. your child from almost dying, you just kind of like probably before that were like, whatever, like we have problems and we have homelessness and we have like a mental health crisis, but it's whatever. Yeah. We live in LA and it's fine. Am I right on that? Or I don't want to speak for you.
Yeah, so we bought the house we were in Venice. We bought it in 2020, like end of 2020. And at that point, Venice hadn't really taken the nosedive that, you know, it has taken since then. I mean, mm-hmm. Venice has always been like a different, you know, not for everybody place. And over the years, like became seedier and seedier. But where we were it's very residential. There's no commercial, you know, like coffee shops or anything to really attract the homeless population or, you know, the riffraff. There's not much parking. So the beach is relatively empty. It was kind mm-hmm. of just a little like piece of paradise. But then because of the pandemic and all of the homeless people that were gathering and living on the beach in Venice on the boardwalk there, the sheriff came in and cleared them out at some point in 2021. And that just kind of created like a diaspora of, you know, people you wouldn't want in your neighborhood coming into our neighborhood. And it kind of like petered off a little, but it just something like fundamentally changed. And I'll tell you what that something was. It's freaking the Los Angeles district attorney. They stopped mm-hmm. prosecuting small crimes. And because of that, people who are criminals or even weren't criminals that are now criminals have become emboldened to do whatever the hell they want because there's no punishment. And so what's the incentive to not do bad things when, like, you know, you can do a smash and grab and you're not gonna get in trouble for it. You can shoot up on the sidewalk and not get in trouble for it. You can poop on the beach and not get in trouble for it. Like,
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Anyone else feel like they're talking like this this time of year and sneezing and coughing and annoying your family while you're watching TV like I'm sure I do?
Well, yeah, I know that I am because my kids tend to tell me. Luckily for those of us who live with these symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat and sinus congestion and pressure with ease in as little as a half an hour, by the way. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, here's the thing too. So I live at the beach too, but I'm in a different part. So I'm technically not LA.
I know, that's why Manhattan Beach is so nice.
I know, but no, we still, like, we're seeing a growth in this stuff. One day, like, I don't know what it is about me. I feel like sometimes these things just happen because I don't know. But one day I was leaving, like, I was on pier in Hermosa. I walk my dogs there a lot. And I was walking down the pier and a homeless man came out of a liquor store and had a giant bottle. It was a plastic bottle of Pepsi. And they were yelling at him to leave because he was robbing the store. And he threw the giant bottle and almost hit me in the head. Like, you know, like, it's not like anything, like, yeah, not even like a minute amount near the horrific thing that happened to you. But my point behind this is it's happened. Both of us have had like interactions with homeless people and drug people that are on drugs, kids that are obviously this boy. I mean, he was into probably a gang. I mean, we have all kinds of issues that need to be cleaned up. And what I'll say too is, when you said the thing about the rental car, it's a very good point, because I don't know if you heard these stories, but there's a jewelry store in Manhattan Beach and it's been hit, looted two times on two different occasions. And these
I don't know if they're in a gang. I have no idea, but they were young kids because I watched the video. All got out, looted with armed with their guns. The jewelry store all got back into their cars. I don't know if they ever got caught, but I think they had rental cars too, or they were stolen and they put different plates on them. Yeah. So like, this is a common occurrence. And now at our malls, we have security guards at the mall. One of my local malls, I don't even know if I should say it. I'm not going to say it because I love my eyebrow girl. This is so vain and embarrassing, but I've been going to her forever. And what's sad about this is, and it's funny, like I'm making light of it, but this is affecting our businesses. This is affecting our economy.
Absolutely.
I've been going to get my eyebrows done by this lady for years. And she was saying to me, when our mall continued to get looted by these teenage gangs, same kind of thing, that nobody's coming to the malls anymore. So they're probably going to have to close. So it's a trickle down effect of what's happening. Right. So I know I'm going off on a tangent. Yeah. So I'm going off on a tangent, and I would like to be a solution based person, just like I'm sure you are, especially after what happened.
Yeah.
Right. So what, well, don't give up. Don't give up. Cause we need more women to be doing and with good intentions, you know, like they say all the time, if women ruled the world, like we would be none of this stuff would be going on. Right. Yeah. So
it's true.
So all of that aside, that like tangent I just went off on. So tell me about what ended up happening. So then you tried to get this kid. You tell me the rest of the story.
So this is when John McKinney enters the conversation. So I had a detective on my case, and he told my husband and I, don't expect anything to happen to this kid. And we're like, well, what does that mean? You know, like 5 years in jail? I mean, he clearly tried to kill us after learning a little bit about him. You know, We quickly jumped to the conclusion that, okay, this indeed was not an accident. And I became very scared. I was scared to be in my house. We put up we had a low, 3-foot fence in our, we lived on one of those walk streets, like what you guys have in, where Manhattan Beach. So our front yard was essentially our backyard, but you had to, you either drive into the back alley to the garage, or you walk in on a little sidewalk to the beach. And then there's a bunch of houses with their front yards on this little, walk path. And so that's what we had. And so we had people up and down all the time because that's how you go to the beach on foot. And so anyway, I was terrified, people could look into our house. I'm like, is this guy going to try to come back and kill me because he didn't succeed the first time because he wasn't arrested? He's just at home and nobody knows where he is. He doesn't have a thing on his ankle tracking him. So we ended up building a fence so that we couldn't even, see out of our house anymore. And I still didn't feel safe.
This is, by the way, all the PTSD like bubbling over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I couldn't take my kid on a walk in a stroller because I thought every car was going to try to hit us because there's not really good sidewalks in our neighborhood. So anyway, back to your question, which was what happened. So the detective says, don't expect anything to happen. And I just thought, like, how could that be? And they gave me no information. Like the DA's office was supposed to reach out to me and basically kind of help me. And I never got that. And so I don't know how I came across it, but I think somebody sent me a post that John McKinney had shared on Twitter. And it was the video of Charlie and I getting hit. And he had said something like, called me like a super mom or something very nice, but just was like, sadly, if what I hear is true, like, this kid should be punished, but nothing is going to happen to him. And so I reached out to John because I just didn't know what to do. And I said, will you help me? Or will you talk to me? Like, can you tell me what to expect? And so he, walked me through what was going on in LA with George Gascon and his policies. And I mean, black and white, like nothing was going to happen to this kid because he put out a series of 8 mandates his first day in office, one of which was, juveniles will not be charged for adult crimes. So they're basically getting off free.
Can you explain? Because I always want to give people the benefit of the doubt. Okay. I just do. I don't want to be like sitting here, but enough stuff has gone on that I'm like, what? Like, enough. Enough is enough. And these recalls of Gascon have been going on forever. When I went to vote, I was like, for sure, he's not going to win. There's no way. And then I read up on John McKinney before, and he's like a genuinely like good man. Like his own trauma. Mm-hmm. Like he grew up like talk a little. I mean, I wish it wasn't too late and this episode was coming out before the election and I would have met you. But talk a little bit about him as a person, because this is more we need him to like stay in politics and like do something else maybe down the line.
He'll stay with the DA's office. I mean, you know, I can't speak for him because I haven't asked him, you know, what is he going to do if George Gascon gets reelected? And let's just hope that doesn't happen. But I think if Nathan Hochman is, you know, the victor in this race, I think that John will stick around. I mean, he's been a DA his whole life. He's been in the DA's office for more than 25 years. He's prosecuted like every type of crime. You know, he did a few very famous, prosecutions. He did Nipsey Hussle case. He did Xinhuan. I'm probably saying the name wrong. Xi, the USC kid, the Asian kid that was murdered. Then was working on, remember the girl from the Palisades who was working that furniture store and a homeless guy just went in and murdered her. It was like a couple years ago. He was working that case, but then Gascon doesn't like or did not like the publicity that John was getting from these high profile cases. So he essentially just moved him to some random assignment in a courthouse that's now been closed. So John just got reassigned again. I mean, Gascon is anybody who's a threat. Gascon's just demoting or forcing them out or just, you know, trying to make their lives miserable.
Okay, so what my question is this, and I've done this before, like I did it on the Talia episode of like, is this about money? Is this about, what is it about? Because there's enough people living in where we live that are unhappy and saying, this is not okay. Like, you can't, for example, I'm going to use the homeless crisis. You can't move a bunch of homeless people from an encampment. And my husband works in Westchester. From an encampment, taking over a park, you can't move them. And then, like, where are they going to go? So, like, your example is they're just going to, like, go in a neighborhood and, like.
Yeah.
I mean, there has to be, like, a plan of action. And so that's what I just can't wrap my head around is like, why this is happening. I know that Karen Bass, by the way,
is a
good lady. Mm-hmm. She's a good lady. And I've met her and I know she's trying, but it's like, you know, you can only try so hard. So
what she needs is a DA that's going to support and help the effort to get the homeless off the street. Like, it's not the DA's job, but if you criminalize sleeping on the street, if you criminalize, you know, using drugs on the street and sleeping on the street and basically all the things that he's decriminalized, you can use the justice system to help get these people into homes. You know, like, because the choice is like, okay, you're living on the street, or okay, you broke the law and by doing drugs or selling drugs, whatever. To clean up the street, you have to give them a choice. Well, you can go to jail or you can go to this rehab program. And so they'll always choose the rehab program because they don't want to go to jail. I mean, not always. I mean, some people will choose jail, but inevitably, most people will choose the get better option because I think a lot of them do want to get better, but how can you if you don't have the resources? So Karen Bass actually put together a task force of, you know, people throughout the city to help with homelessness and did not invite George Gascon to be on it. He's just not included.
Okay, well, that's and good. He is like shout
the
out
most
Karen.
Influential person that you would need to help get this rolling. And Pete's not even included because she knows he sucks. So
well, okay. No, but I want to make sure that people know, like, I don't care. Like, the man that's running against George Gascon, I'm always saying his name wrong.
Gascon.
It reminds me of Beauty and the Beast. Gascon.
It's kind of like, Gascon. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I always remember it. So he's running against a Republican, correct?
So Nathan Hochman is, he was a Republican. He's now a Democrat.
Okay.
But the truth of the matter is,
Yeah.
I mean, he worked, and I forget who he worked for, if it was Bush. He was a federal prosecutor for a little while. So he's got some good experience, and he's an LA, you know, native. He's a nice guy. I actually did a commercial for him when he was running for attorney general. And that was two years ago.
Well, all I know is, like, I'm going to read up on him and do my homework and everything, because I was a huge supporter of John McKinney. I was, like, crying the night that he didn't win. I know you were. My heart, like, melted for you. But the thing is that there's hope, right? We have hope.
I think Nathan Hochman can pull it off. Like, I think the reason that he finished second, nothing against him, he just had the most, aside from Gascon, who actually spent, I don't think, any money on campaigning for the primary. You know, his name's out there. People vote for whatever name they recognize. And, like, his name's all over the news for just being
a piece of shit
all the time. So anyway, Nathan, like, he has the Republican vote for sure. He's from Beverly Hills. He's from a well-to-do family. So he's connected. Uh-huh. He has a lot of money. He raised a couple $1 million, and I don't know how much John raised, but it wasn't even, I don't even think it was $500,000. So Nathan was able to buy ads. He was running television ads. And nobody else was doing that. And then you had John Hatami, who finished third. He was on that Netflix. He was the DA on the Gabriel Hernandez case. It's like the parents who, like, tortured their kid. Anyway, it's a really awful story. He had some television exposure and then got support because of that. So it's just, I mean, John didn't win, not because he's, you know, not the best guy. In my mind, he's still the best guy. But he just didn't have the money to buy the exposure that you need to win something like that. When you've got 12 candidates, it was a total crapshoot. But the good news is Gascon got 25% of the votes, which was a lot, but 75% of people who voted did not vote for him. So that's, you know, hopefully all of those votes are going to go to Nathan Hochman.
Okay, good. So that's my point. Like, when I say, like, we just need somebody that's going to get the job done. Okay. So take your, whatever your, you want to vote blue, you want to vote red, you want to, what should really matter to all of us is that we clean up California. And like, it shouldn't, we just, the aisles need to talk to each other. Don't get me started. It's ridiculous. And you're a mom. I'm a mom. Tell me what ended up happening with this kid. Cause I know he didn't, I mean, I already know cause you told me, but he didn't, and nothing ended up, he just got off scot-free, right?
So he was sentenced. So he, first of all, he skipped his court hearing, and my husband and I, I'll make this really fast cause I know we're running low on time. My husband and I, after, you know, talking to John, he connected us with an attorney who helped us work with the juvenile DA's office. So we met with them because the initial charges brought against this kid was one count of a hit and run. That's it. No attempted murder, no two counts. I mean, there were two of us, so, like, shouldn't that be two counts? So which one, me or my child, doesn't count as a person? I don't know. So anyway, we met with the juvenile DA's office in Inglewood, and pressed for the hardest possible charges. And the hardest possible charges were two counts of felony hit and run with intent to cause bodily injury or harm or something. And with that, there was like one slightly tougher charge that we could have brought. But with that, they were like, well, then you're going to have to waive your right to a victim impact statement, which is something like I would get to go to court at the time of his sentencing to try to influence the judge's ruling on the case. So anyway, we negotiated that. I definitely was going to say my piece when he was, you know, having his hearing. And since he skipped his hearing date, they just put out a bench warrant for his arrest, but nobody's looking for him. My husband knew somebody formerly very high up in LAPD who eventually called in a favor for us, and they had to send special ops in to get him in like the middle of the night and, you know, find him with his cell phone data. So they did that for us, which was nice. And because he was in Palmdale when they picked him up, they pulled my case file from Inglewood without notifying Inglewood. And they sentenced him without giving me the option to provide a victim impact statement. And through the, so anyway, he was sentenced to 4 to 7 months in a juvenile camp, which is like, there's no barbed wire fence or anything. He's basically just forced to go to school every day. And then while he was there, they tried to say he's being such a good boy that he should get out early. So anyway, the kid, I think, ultimately served 5 months. And then when he was released, he was murdered.
What?
Murdered.
He would. Okay, so he did 5 months in juvie, and then he got murdered by like a gang member or something?
He got in a fight with a kid, another kid, over a girl in front of a Jack in the Box. Mm-hmm. And they waited for him to walk home, drove by and shot him dead in a ditch.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, here's the thing.
How's that for this juvenile? This kid was obvious.
Yeah. Like, this kid was obviously must have had like a horrific upbringing, and I'm not making excuses. If somebody is listening to this and ever wants to come on and give me the opposite side, I'm open to it, because I'm telling you, like, I would love to know why these things are happening. And there's, you turn on the news, I don't even want to watch the local news, because it's like every day you hear a new story. And it makes no sense that this is like, you know, like, it's just happening all the time. So I, you know.
He did not have, I mean, I think his, I can't speak to his mother, but I know his mother was the one raising him. I don't know anything about her.
Yeah.
But the father, we did a, you know, a background check on him as well. And he had a pretty big rap sheet, you know, dealing drugs, burglary, intent to burglarize, that type of stuff. But I don't think that he was in this kid's life. But Palmdale, I mean, that the Antelope Valley is like the joke, or the long running joke that multiple people have told me is that you're either in a gang or you're working for the police department. There's really no industry up there anymore. It used to be like Navy or aviation or, you know, something military. Mm-hmm. And that went away. And so there's really not much to do up there but get in trouble or chase the trouble, you know, if you work for the police.
And well, this is the thing. If there's no hope for these like kids, and I'm not giving an excuse for this boy, like, I'm sorry, karma's a thing. And I hate to say that because I don't want to sound insensitive, but sorry.
Well, he was pretty insensitive towards me. So I think he got what
obviously,
he deserved.
Obviously. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, if there was some kind of like program or somebody was like running this, our cities correctly, and it wasn't about like just letting criminals out on the street, then maybe there would be a way to like rehabilitate these young kids so they're not like automatically caught into gangs and wanting to be, you know, doing these like looting and all of these things. Like, where are their parents? Like, what's going on? And, you know, they're all out like causing gang fights at the malls, and so employees can't go in, and so it's a real problem. So, you know, I wanted you to come on because I think if enough people speak out like you, and I'm so incredibly sorry for your story. I wish like I wasn't sitting here talking to you, even though you're gorge and I love talking to you. I just think you need to continue to keep sharing. And like the more that we share and we like, that's why I do this podcast and we speak up, maybe the brighter our future will be for our kids. You know, yeah. If you have kids that live in LA, do you have more than one now or just?
No, okay. Just one.
So he's going to like preschool and he's going to like go to the schools. And, you know, I have girls that, you know, I'm terrified. My oldest is going to high school next year. And I'm like, how am I going to send her to high school? I'm afraid of like gun violence, like all the things that we have to be afraid of. So if you're listening to this again, I'm not sitting here trying to say I'm a left liberal, I'm a right, like whatever they, I don't know what they're even called. I'm just saying I want my city and my state to be safe again. And so do you. And we want people that do things like this to be prosecuted. And we want our politicians to be held accountable. And at the end of the day, like if you're listening to this and you go and you vote, do your homework. Like I never cared. I would go into that little booth. I'm so dumb, by the way. I like to make fun of myself, Rachel. I don't know if you've noticed that. But like every time I vote, and I know there's other people like me, so please tell me. I get terrified that I'm going to hit the wrong thing and vote for the wrong person. So and I've been voting for a really long time and I voted for different parties. Like I'm somebody that has voted for what I believe in. And every time I go in there to vote, I'm like, oh my God, I get so nervous. I ask 10 times if I'm lining it up correctly. And I know the volunteers think I'm an idiot, but that's fine. But my point is read up on like who all the different positions are, because I never did. I was always like, whatever the LA Times says, I'm just going to.
Oh, yeah. Like, and really do your homework. So far from what you should be doing these days, LA Times.
But no, but that's my point. So the LA Times, the LA Times was promoting Gascon, and like people read the newspaper or they look online and they're like, I'm going to vote where my party votes. So that's part of the issue, right?
Yeah.
It's, right.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
anyways. Like the most important thing, just when it comes to the DA, like honestly, the political, like I can't tell you how when I was working that booth, how many people were like, "Oh, is he a Democrat or a Republican?" Because I'm not voting for a Democrat. And anybody who actually is good at their job, it's following the law. The law is black and white. It's not red or blue. So it doesn't matter what their political party preference is at all. It matters that are they going to prosecute the law or are you not? Are you going to make up your own bogus rules and just ignore the law, which is what George Gascon does.
You obviously, everyone, I have news for you. You can't vote in like these situations in particular across your party lines. Do your homework. In general, like, is everyone happy? I mean, this is like a bigger question. Are you happy about where the direction of our country is going because our two political parties can't seem to like talk to each other? And so all of the citizens in our country are unhappy, but we just want to raise our kids. And like, I want my kids to have a healthy environment, and I want guns out of, so I'm all for, like, I want gay marriage. I want all the things that are important to me because these are my friends and my family and, you know, and my children and your children. And that's really what should matter. And people need to kind of take a step back and do their homework. That's just my opinion on it. Rachel, it was such a joy to meet you. I know there's a reason, like I talked in the beginning, why we met that day. I really hope that maybe John will listen to this. Hi, John. I'm happy to volunteer if you come back out and you decide to run. You have somebody that's going to get behind you because we need more people like you in office. Right? In closing, you matter. Your story matters. Keep going. Thanks, Rachel.
Judging Megan with Megan Judge.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.